Okay, so we are
we have reached Chaf Daled Amud Aleph, I believe.
We are actually on the bottom of Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. I decided to leave the last bit of the sugya, even though the Amud is very short, because it goes so far into the next Amud. Okay, let's go. So, if you remember the last thing we were discussing, the Gemara on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph suggested that, in the name of Abaye, that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir was because Rabbi Meir was worried that the animal would just drop dead, and therefore you can't use it as the wall stopper because it'll collapse and then you won't have a wall. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it's not such a problem. Right? We're not worried. I mean, it'd be a big problem if it happened, but we're not worried that it will, in fact, occur. And then we presented a Bryce, a series. Then we presented a couple of Mishnayos, which Abaye explained meant essentially the opposite, right? That Rabbi Meir was worried that a husband would die, and therefore his wife should not. Rabbi Meir was not worried that a husband would die, and therefore his wife could continue to eat truma as long as she was unaware of him dying, because she could just assume he was alive. Rabbi Yehuda was not so sure about that. Rabbi Yehuda thought that maybe in the case where a man gave his wife a get and said, this will be my get, this debt will be galled when an hour before I die, she from that point on can never eat truma because it always might be an hour before he dies. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is actually worried that an animal will die. Right? And that seems to be the opposite of what we said about the animal. So it says, Desanya, we bring a similar case. I mean, it's not a single case in terms of its particulars, but similar in terms of being worried about what might happen. Somebody who took wine, who bought wine from the Kusim. Now, remember, we explained that the Kusim are the Samaritans. Right? The Samaritans were people who were brought to Yisrael by some Chayiv after the destruction of Malchus Yisrael. Well, and they lived in the land, and they continued to do their Avodah Zarah, and as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set wild animals on them. And they brought a Kohen from the Jews who were sent into exile. They brought him back, and he explained to them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like Avodah Zarah, and so they converted. Right, and there's a machlokes tanoim, was their conversion valid or not? We tend to assume that halacha was. Im ki bizman hazeh, we assume that they're not Jewish for a different reason. The seder, right? So if somebody buys wine from them, they're Jewish. Their wine is chayev and trumas amaisres. But the assumption is that they wouldn't have been mafresh trumas amaisres if they're selling someone else. They'll only be mafresh trumas amaisres if they're making the wine for themselves. So they weren't worried about causing an avera for someone else. That was one of the things they weren't marked on. They weren't marked on certain mitzvahs. One of the mitzvahs they didn't seem to care very much about was if they ever loisitain michshol. Right? They weren't worried about causing other people to do isurim. They just didn't want to do isurim themselves. So, in such a case, right, he should, and it's right before Shabbos, he doesn't have time to be mafresh properly. So what should he do? He said, Omer, he'll say, Shnei lugim shani asil hafresh arein truma. The two lugim that I will be mafresh later on, they will be truma. Remember, 2 out of 100, right? We said that the truma that the hacham minatorah truma doesn't have a shear, right? Mi derabonon Chazal established 3 shearim for truma. To give 1/40th if one wants to be generous, to give 1/50th if one doesn't mind. So if one wants to give the regular average shear, and to give 1/60th if one wants to be stingy, or we pass it if the truma is tummy, then one might give the stingy shear, because anyway, the con can't eat it. So in such a case, right, the truth is there's a Noida Behuda who suggests, Tosafot Rid sounds like this as well, that the shearim are really minatorah, it's just a bidyevet if you gave less, then that removes us the status of tevel from the kri, but that lechatchila even minatoru you're meant to give one of these 3 shirim. But we usually assume it's only darabala. These shirim are only darabala. So if you gave, but in any case, 2 lukim. So you bought 100 lukim of water of wine. Excuse me, from the kusim. So you say 2 lukim will be truma. Then you say 10 lukim. That'll be meiser rishon. Right? Remember, meiser has to be a tenth. So later it'll actually be 9.8. 9.8 rounded up is 10. Therefore, we say 10 lukim will be meiser rishon. 9 lukim. Now we have 8.8. We have 88 lugim of wine left. Of that, 1/10 of that is obviously 8.8. Therefore, rounded up, 9 lugim will be meiser sheni. right? Or meichel, and then you can redeem that maaser sheni. You can be meichel on money, right? And then tell you later on you'll have to bring that money to Yerushalayim. You can use that money in Yerushalayim to buy any sort of edible item, with the exception of water or salt. And you can then eat that. You'll have to eat that item because maaser sheni, meaning you eat it in Yerushalayim, within the walls of Yerushalayim. Betahara, you can't be tamei when you're eating it. Note. Again, there's a machlokes rishonim. Do you have to just min haTorah? Do you just have to spend it in Yerushalayim? Meaning, you can spend it on clothes if you want, or is it that min haTorah you really have to spend it on food? Beseder, right? Divrei Rabbi Meir. All this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda veRabbi Yosi veRabbi Shimon. I assume Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Shimon all say you cannot do this. What is the reason why you cannot do it? So the Gemara doesn't say it here. The Gemara says in other places, Shema Yivaka Hanoid. Right? We're worried that the skin which contains the wine will burst. If the skin which contains the wine burst, then you don't end up being mafresh anything at all. You didn't mafresh Ruma, you didn't mafresh Maaser Risha, and you didn't mafresh Maaser Sheni, you certainly didn't redeem the Maaser Sheni, and therefore what you ate, Lamaisa, was Tevel. Right? Tevel is an Isur Misa Bidei Shamayim, especially at least Tevel, which still has Truma and Trumas Maaser in it, because Truma and Trumas Maaser are an Isur Misa Bidei Shamayim, and therefore, you would have eaten Tevel, which is an Isur Misa Bidei Shamayim. We say it's Asur, you have to actually take the Trumas and Maasers out. You can't drink it until you do. Rabbi Meir seems to have not been worried about this. So it's epoch. No, we're reversing it. We're reversing it in our brisa, and we're reversing it in the story of Gitting. Rabbi Meir chayish lemisa. Rabbi Yehuda lo chayish lemisa. No, the answer is really we were right the first time. Rabbi Meir is the one who is kosher lemisa. Rabbi Yehuda is not. And what's this? Why we have a brisa that says asal aveima doifin lasuka. Rabbi Meir poser. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Right. Rabbi Meir, because we have a brisa that says that Rabbi Meir thinks that you can't use an animal as the wall of a sukkah, and Rabbi explained this was because we're worried the animal will drop dead. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a problem, we're not worried about that. Kashi Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir, Misa Shchicha B'kiyas Adnoid Leishchichas. And then the answer was no. Rabbi Meir says, an animal dying, that's a common occurrence. Right? Animals die all the time. A wineskin bursting, that's actually not so common. Efshar, says Efshar, de maser le shomer. Why is it so uncommon that this wineskin should burst? Because you might have given it to a shomer. Okay, my apologies for that. That was Yoni is sitting right here next to me eating breakfast. The reason why giving the wineskin over to a shomer will prevent it breaking is because if you give the wineskin to a shomer, the shomer is not going to drink it. If the shomer is not going to drink it, then he's not going to move it around. It's just going to sit there. It's very unlikely to burst, right? The wineskin might burst if you handle it a lot, right? But if not, then it's very uncommon. It's not going to burst just on its own. As opposed to an animal. Animals really just die on their own. Giving it to a shomer doesn't count. So Kashi Rabbi Yehuda, you Rabbi Yehuda. We've also got a contradiction with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Taima de Rabbi Yehuda, la mishum de chayish l'b'kiyas anoid, and mishum de leisli brera. So the Gemara immediately said, no, the reason for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is nothing whatsoever to do with the wineskin bursting. If that were the reason, then inachinami, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with Rabbi Meir. The reason for Rabbi Meir's opinion is because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Breira. Okay, what's Breira? We skimmed over this so far. The Breira that we mentioned so far relied on a system called Breira. What does Breira mean? Breira means that we assume if something is going to become clearer later, we assume that whatever became true later was true the whole time along. So let's say in our situation, right, you say that you will be mafresh truma, that whatever truma is left at the end of the wine cask, that is, or the wine skin, that is going to be the truma, right? So the assumption then is that was the truma all along, and therefore you didn't drink anything which had truma in it, right? The alternative is to say, no, you have to actually be mafresh, because until sometime you're actually mafresh, all of it is potentially truma. Right? That is what prayer means. Now, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that that if you say something like this, right? If you say that whatever's left in the wineskin will be truma, then retroactively it is truma on the entire wineskin, and therefore you didn't actually drink any tevel, right? What he holds is that until you actually pull out the truma is mixed in with everything, and therefore you cannot do. Therefore, you cannot do this. So it says, "V'loy chayish Rabbi Yehuda levkiyas anoid." Is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda was not concerned that the skin would burst? We just said that Rabbi Yehuda is unconcerned that the skin would burst. Why is he unconcerned that the skin would burst? Because if he is concerned the skin would burst, why doesn't he agree with Rabbi Meir that if you give it to a shomer, then, you know, this is actually a mutter thing to do, right? It must be that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a break. What Rabbi Yehuda is not holding here is not that the skin will burst. That he's fine. He's fine. He thinks the skin, we can prevent the skin from bursting. We don't have to be worried about that. But we are concerned because there is no breira, and therefore this hafrasha didn't work in the first place. It's all tevel. So it says, V'ham idikatsani seifa amru le Rabbi Meir. But wait, the Brisa says, aren't you concerned that the wineskin will burst? And Rabbi Meir said, look, if it bursts, it bursts. But I'm not concerned enough that it'll happen to tell somebody not to do this. Implying that Rabbi Yehuda is in fact concerned that the wineskin will burst, because that's what he said. Because that's what he said. That was his kasha on Rabbi Meir. Says Hashem that there Rabbi Yehuda who the kasha on Rabbi Meir ledidi leisli breira ledidachti yesh breira yatamayde shemi yivakanoid. So that no, what Rabbi Yehuda said was, for me all of this doesn't work because I don't hold of breira. You hold of breira. You hold that if you say that something which will become clearer later on will retroactively be truma on the entire wineskin, that works. I do not hold that works. But even if you hold that works, in this particular case you should not allow it because we should be concerned that wineskin will burst. Rabbi Meir says, no, I'm not so concerned about that. Is it true that Rabbi Yehuda was not worried that somebody will die? Don't we have a machlokes? Okay, so there is a din that the Kohen Gadol must be married on Yom Kippur, right? Why? Because the pasuk says that he was that vechiper al beisoi, he will have a kapara. He does 2-3 viduim on Yom Kippur, right? 2 on his par, on his cow, and 1 on the sire, on the goat for Am Yisrael. The 2 on his par, 1 is for him personally, and the other one is for him and his family. And the second one is for all of the kohanim together. They get kapara through the vidui of the kohen gadol on his par, right? Now, it says that he does, v'chiper alav al beisoi, he'll be mechaper for himself and on his house. We darshan, beisoi zuishtoi. Every single time the Torah says bayis, or not every time, many times the Torah says bayis, we assume that to actually mean a wife. Right? It's his way of saying, it's a Torah's way of saying his wife. And therefore, right, if he's going to be mechaper, if he's going to atone for himself and his wife, it must be that he's married. Therefore, we learn a halacha. This is probably a halacha d'oraisa, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur must be married. If the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur must be married, what happens if his wife dies? Right, it's a real problem. He wouldn't be able to do the avodah. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we should get another woman ready to straight away marry the Kohen Gadol should his wife die. Chachamim say, no, we're not so worried about. We're not sufficiently worried about it there. We're not sufficiently worried about it in such a case to actually allow to actually do that, to actually get another one ready such that we can straight away get the Kohen Gadol married again. We're not worried that his wife will die. Right? Sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is worried that his wife will die. If Rabbi Yehuda is worried that his wife will die, then doesn't that contradict everything we said? That Rabbi Yehuda is not worried that the animal will drop dead, and Rabbi Yehuda is not worried that the husband will die and therefore she can't eat truma. And therefore the wife can't eat truma on the previous amud. So it says, no, the answer is, maila aso bekapara. Yom Kippur is different because the kapara of Yom Kippur is for Klal Yisrael. It's also important, right? The avodah of Yom Kippur is so very, very, very important. It's so very important it goes well. It's not just it's a mitzvah. All mitzvahs are important, but it's also that, of course, the kapara achieves something very substantive, which is very important to us. Without kapara, we're all in big trouble. Right? It says, Maila asu bekapara. We are more careful about kapara than we are about other things, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda, who's not worried usually that somebody will die, in this case was worried enough to say we should get another wife ready for the Kohen Gadol so that she can, so that he won't be in a situation where he's without a wife on Yom Kippur and he won't be able to do the avodah. Parenthetically, Tosis asks, that Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Yuma, is pretty clear that we're not worried that somebody will drop it. Right? Tosis asks on that Mishnah, but wait, the Gemara in Yevamah says that it's very important that the brothers do Yibum on their wife. If a brother dies without, if a man dies without any children, then his brothers should be very careful to do either Yibum or Chalitza very quickly. They shouldn't delay it. One of the reasons given is because we're Chashin Lamisa actually worried that the brother will die and he won't be able to do the Yibum. So what's the difference? Tosis give two answers. Firstly, somebody's already died in that circumstance. So like once people are dying, it's not reasonable to say we're not worried about somebody dying. Right? Once people are dying, then you are worried about people dying. So then you have to act as though you're worried about people dying. I don't think that, by the way, that's necessarily a statistical comment just because somebody died, then people are more likely to continue dying. I think it's more that once death is on our minds, we have to relate to the possibility that somebody might die. Normally we don't, because it's a fairly remote possibility. In the case that somebody has already died, we really have to relate to the possibility that somebody else will die as well, because death is already on our minds. The nature of Yibum is that somebody has already died. Right? That's the first thing. The second suggestion that Tosis make is that, no, when it comes to Yom Kippur, we're not worried the wife of the Yom Kippur will die within the first, let's say, 12, 13 hours of the day before he has a chance to do the vidui in the parish. That's something we're not concerned about. But what are we concerned about? If somebody puts off Yibum, he's putting it off potentially for a very long time, right? Well, it's like he's going traveling, right? He's not sure. Maybe his wife will get upset and he doesn't want to upset her. Whatever the case may be, right? He's putting off Yid. He's just not sure if he wants to marry her. He might put off Yibum for potentially a very long time. But talking about putting Yibum off for a very long time, then that already, we should be worried that somebody might die, because sure, the chance of any single person dying on any single day is relatively low. The chance of any specific person dying over an extended period of time, years potentially, is obviously much greater, and therefore we say no, do the Yibum as fast as possible. Okay. The Gemara continues. Bein leman damar shemet hops. Bein leman damar shemet tivrach. Midoraisa mechitza me'al yehi. Ura berabonan hu de gazruba. So, the Gemara says, whether you say the reason that you should not use an animal as the wall for a sukkah is because the animal might drop dead, or because you think the reason why you shouldn't use the animal as a wall for a sukkah is because you think that the animal might run away, it's clear that min haTorah, the animal does constitute a good wall for the sukkah. Right? When those are the reasons, it's clear that the animal is a good wall. And Rabbanan were goyzer. The Rabbanan made a gzeira that you should not use this as a wall. But midoraisa, the wall is kosher. Shouldn't this mean that it can also be, remember we said that the gravestone, the rolling stone that they used to roll across the entrance to the cave, right? Shouldn't we say that stone, That you can use an animal to block the entrance to a cave, and it should be tummy mace, just like that stone is, right? Because it sounds like midoraisa, it's a good wall. Almatnan Rabbi Yehuda metami mishum goel Rami Meir metayer. No, we have a mission that says Rabbi Yehuda in fact does say that an animal is going to be tummy because of a goel as a golo, right? If you use the animal to block the entrance to a cave with dead people in it, it is going to be tummy mace. And Rabbi Yehuda, even though it hasn't actually shadowed over a dead body, and Rabbi Yehuda metayer, Rabbi Yehuda says no, it's tahor. Ela ama Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Kasava Rami Meir kol mechitza shaymedes beruach she'ena mechitza beruach. Eina mechitza. Right. So the answer is no. Any mechitza which is basically held up by the wind a koitrei mer is not a real mechitza. So similarly, this animal is held up by its breath, it's so to speak held up by wind, right? It is not in itself substantial, and therefore Rabbi Meir will hold this is not a wall. Not because it might run away, not because it might collapse, but because this thing is something which is not held up in a permanent fashion, right? It's held by something which is inherently held up by something which is inherently transient, and as such, right, it is not a valid wall. Full stop. Not for any purpose. Also not for sukkah, it sounds like, right? Ika de Amri, and then there are some people who learned this way. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov Ksav Rav Meir, kol mechitza she'ina asuya bidei adam, eina mechitza. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, maybe he said it a little differently, he said any mechitza, any wall, which wasn't made by people as a wall, is not a valid wall, right? May be nahu. What's the difference between these two opinions? Right, by the way, this obviously recalls the statement of Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning of the parak that any ohel, any shelter, which is not made by people for the purpose of being a shelter, is not a valid shelter. Right, obviously this is a very, very similar kind.
Okay.
So the Gemara immediately suggests the difference between them is going to be if you basically inflate a gourd, right? If you inflate a wineskin or a water skin, a gourd. And then it's humongous, it's huge. You use it as the wall of a sukkah. If you say that a mechitza which is held up by air, by wind, is not a mechitza, this is still not going to be a mechitza, obviously. It is held up by air. It is held up by air in the clearest possible fashion. However, if you say that the reason is that it is held up, that it is not was not made by people, a wall, it was not really a wall made by people for a wall, in this case, it is. Therefore, it will be a kosher wall. Just a minute. It should be noted, the Sfasemes asked an obvious question on this particular Gemara. The Sfasemes asked, but wait, why didn't we say that if a wall which is not made by people for the purpose of being a wall is going to be a kosher wall, which is the implication of one of the days in this Gemara, right? One of the days says that the reason why an animal is not a kosher wall is because the animal is in fact moving, it's got breath in it, right? It's inherently and temporary. Rashi says, She'ein avidase adidei darashish b'mamash, that's not held up by something that's real, right? It's held by something that's incredibly insubstantial, by the animal's breath, right? So if that's the reason why an animal is possible to use as the wall of a sukkah, if that were the case, then that implies in this Gemara that a wall which is not made for the purpose of being a wall is in fact still a wall. Right? That's the implication of this Gemara. Says the Sfasemes, if that's true, then why isn't a tree a wall? Right? The Mishnah said explicitly a tree is a good wall, so why didn't we suggest that whether a tree is a wall is an argument between those opinions, and therefore one of the opinions is wrong, because the Mishnah says a tree is a kosher wall for a sukkah? Right? The answer was no. There's a difference between something which can be used as a wall, right? Which is something that people... Right, anything which can be used as a wall, as a partition of some sort, even if it wasn't in this particular case used as a partition, is going to be kosher if you decide then to use it as a wall of a sukkah. Whereas something which is basically never used as a partition will not be a kosher wall for a sukkah, right? A tree does sometimes use partitions. They use as fences, right? Hedges and things like that, they use as a fence. So even if this particular tree wasn't used as a wall for a sukkah, it wasn't intended to be used as a support for a wall of a sukkah, it is still a kosher wall. That is as opposed to an animal, which is basically never used as a wall as a partition. That is just not a kosher wall for a sukkah at all.